Nice of Bob to thank me for reading this morning. But in actuality, I had told Kathy to load me up. Because not only do I bill by the word, I get double on a holiday weekend. So, thank you. We're going to start off today with from the book of Luke, chapter 14. The verse deals with the cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And next, from the book of James, chapter 4, dealing with submitting yourselves to God. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, to quote, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And finally, we go to Psalm 139. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain." And to finish out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's open with prayer. Gracious Father, we do thank you for how you provide for each and every one of us. We thank you for the blessings that we've received and just for the opportunity to come to study your word and an opportunity to make your presence known throughout the world. Guide us in all we do. Help us to know your will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So I want to begin asking a question. Who's sitting in your seat? But I thought when I first started thinking about this and I got right in the sermon, I got thinking about it. It's a good question to ask one another, because you know what? We need to all find our identity. So if you said me, well, I want to know which one. Is it the person you think you are? Is that who's sitting there? Or is it the person others think you are that's sitting there? Or is it the person that God knows you are sitting there? I'm going to end my sermon today just like I'm going to begin it, because the question is, so are you searching for your identity in God? So when you sit there, you are the person God knows you are. Hard question to answer, isn't it? Hard thing to do. So when we got reading the scriptures we read in Luke, it says the crowds were following Jesus. They were looking to be identified with him. And he tells them a real harsh truth. What did he say? He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Wow. He tells us to hate our mothers and fathers. Is that what he's really saying? Really harsh words. It's hard to understand, isn't it? Well, we have to understand, so the word hate in scriptures and in the time in Jesus' language, in the Aramaic language, hate doesn't really describe a feeling. You say, well, what do you mean it doesn't describe a feeling? Well, it really it describes a priority in life. So it's kind of like, a sailor on a sinking ship. He hates that the ship is sinking, but he's definitely going to get off. He's got to change his priorities. Or like a general going to battle. So he knows everything that's going to get in his way to keep him from preparing for that battle. So he hates that stuff that's within his way, doesn't he? So he changes his priorities. So when we read that word hate, it means to change your attitude, your mind, your actions, your priorities in life, is what it's really saying here. So in James, verse 4, what did he say? He says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. So does that mean we're really going to hate him? Or does it mean we're going to change our priorities? So that, yes, we have to live in this world, but we're going to change our priorities so that God is number one, not the world. When we read Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, let me read them to you again. These were the words he said. So David was searching for his identity. He writes this. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I thought about this, and then I got reading it in the message, and I wanted to share what it said in the message. This way Eugene Peterson put it. He said, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. And see for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. And then guide me on the road to eternal life. When we first read these verses, they really represent a prayer of David's. It's what David wanted to pray. He wanted God to search him because he wanted to know who was sitting in his seat. And I think we need to do that today. We need to pray this prayer that David writes for us, and it has four things. And I think we need to apply all four of them things into our lives. So more I thought about this, so how do we make this real? How do we know that this is what we ought to do? So I found a little story. I want to tell it to you. It's about a husband and a wife, an older couple, and they're driving down the road. And, of course, they're being held up by this couple that's in front of them, this car that's in front of them. They see through the back window, they see this couple's are making out. Well, this woman, she's putting her in the guy's lap. And she's hugging him and kissing him on the cheek. And they're going down the road and they're putting down the road. And every once in a while, even though it was dangerous, he'll lean over and kiss her. He probably jerks the steering wheel a little bit, but they're not in a big hurry to get where they're going. And so the couple behind him, the driver, he's sitting over behind the wheel, and the wife, she's over next to the door, and she's leaning out the door, and she's watching this, and they're getting disturbed about it. And she finally looks over and gets seeing the couple in front and says, "Why don't we do that anymore?" Husband looks back at her and says, "I haven't moved." Harsh truths. Think about it. Has your relationship grown cold with someone you loved? Have you moved away from them? Maybe they haven't moved. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's not. But think about it this way. Think about it with God. Has your relationship grown cold with God? He hasn't moved. He's still in the same place. Who's the one that's moved? Person in your seat? We think about this. What did we read last week? What did we talk about last week? Didn't we read from Hebrews where Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever? So David starts out. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." That's really the first thing we need to start praying, isn't it? When we leave here every morning, when we get up from bed, we have to be praying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Now, we're not really talking about a heart here, are we? We need to recognize what our heart truly is. I mean, we all know we have a heart. It's that little engine that keeps the blood flowing in our bodies. But we're asking God really to say, "I want you to take a CAT scan of my heart. I want to know who I really am." Think about it. So David is asking God, he says, "Search my heart and tell me who I really am. I need to know." And when I thought about it, I thought, okay, so what is the heart? How does the scripture look at it? How does the scripture define heart? It says, so in order to know our heart, what is the heart? The heart is our what? Relationship with God, right? It's what we have inside of us. It's our fellowship with God. See, because our relationship with God, once we accept Christ as our Savior, is permanent. But our fellowship is, what's the problem, right? Because it grows apart. And it only grows apart because we've moved. God hasn't moved. Proverbs, Solomon's son. Solomon, David's son, he wrote, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Think about that. It's true. I mean, the real sense of who you are is what you see in your own lives, isn't it? What we think we are is who we are. It's what grows us. Kind of an extreme story. So a woman goes to a psychiatrist and says, "Doc, you got to help me out. My husband thinks he's a racehorse." Why, he's on all fours. He eats hay and everything. Psychiatrist looks at him and says, "Ma'am, well, I can help you, but it's going to take a long time, and it's going to cost you lots of money." Well, she looks back and says, "Money's no problem. He's already won two races." You are what you think. Who do you think you are in God's eyes? Are you his servant? Are you someone who he can trust? Who he wants to bless because you've done his will? We need to pray, "Search me, O God. Know my heart." Maybe we ought to think about it like we were looking in a mirror. So when you're looking in a mirror, when you look in a mirror, have ever saw yourself? Nobody? Well, you really haven't. You haven't saw yourself. You just saw your reflection, didn't you?
I mean, when we see ourselves in the mirror, all we see is a two-dimensional person, right? We don't see that three-dimensional person that we are. We don't see the three people we are. The one that we think we are, or the one others think we are, or the one God knows we are. Think about this. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we didn't crawl in. We're just seeing that reflection, and that's what we really need to focus on, right? Is that reflection that others think we are. When I think about these three dimensions, we're saying, I got to thinking, you need to try me, Lord, and know my anxieties, what David prayed, that second prayer. He said, I want to, in order for us to know who we are, we have to realize it ourselves, because we most of the time don't even know who we are. We don't know what our faults are. We don't know what our anxieties lie or any of that down, do we? I mean, we like to hide our feelings. We don't want to let anything out that'll embarrass us or open our mouths and just change feet, do we? We don't like doing that. I mean, it's kind of like the woman's waiting for her husband to come home. He finally comes home, and she looks at him and says, honey, I think I got water in the carburetor. He says, water in the carburetor? Well, what do you mean? He says, I think I got water in the carburetor. He says, now you don't even know what a carburetor is. How could you possibly get water in a carburetor? He says, I'll look at it. Where's the car? Well, it's in the pool. How hard is that to believe, to relate to somebody else? Could you imagine going out in the street and telling somebody, yeah, I got water in the carburetor, my car's in the pool. Be proud of it? I mean, there's stuff like this in our lives. We have the little things in our lives that happen that we don't want anybody to know about. We definitely don't want others to know about it. But God does. So how do we change that? How do we get rid of that fear of letting others know who God sees, who we really are, if we are God's? We need to really call God, say, try me. Know my anxieties. And then we need to say, see if there's any offensive way in me. As Eugene Peterson, but he says, see for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Ooh, that's a scary proposition. To say to God, see for yourself if I've done anything wrong. I'm basically, he's going to point out lots of things. I know in my life he could point out so many things, it's almost scary to know. It'd be scary for me to let others know. So how do we do this? How do we justify what's going on in our lives? How do we justify what's going on in the world today? When I thought about this, I started writing some stuff there, and I'm going to just read you what I wrote. Because if I try to tell it without looking at it, I'm definitely going to mess it up. So I wrote down, and so today if you talk about sinful ways or wicked ways, people just roll their eyes. We don't talk about weaknesses and wickedness, if I could talk. We talk about weaknesses. I mean, we don't talk about adulterous relationships as sinful, and we just call it inappropriate. And we don't talk about transgressions anymore, do we? We talk about problems. So I think we're living in a society that finally thinks they've figured out a way to eliminate right and wrong. First, you do away with God. When you do away with God, you do away with sin. So when you do away with sin, you do away with guilt. When you do away with guilt, you do away with responsibility. And when you do away with responsibility, you do away with punishment. Does any of this sound familiar? Do we see this going on today? I mean, David, he was searching for his identity in God, just as we had to be. And he's crying out, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, If I have any transgressions in my life, I want you to reveal them to me so I can change them, so I can be the person you want me to be. Think about it this way. So if you go to the doctor to have tests done or have an operation, and the doctor, does he tell you what's wrong with you? I mean, when he goes in to operate, does he bother to tell you what he's doing in there? Or what he needed to remove? What needs to be removed? I mean, he knows. But the thing you need to know is what needs to be removed in our lives. And the only way we can do that is to ask God about it, isn't it? And once we do that, once we know we've been holding back, what embarrasses us, what we want to be seen in our lives, is to be like Jesus. Isn't that what we're truly after? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you searching for your identity? Who's sitting in your seat today? In the words of Jesus, he who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, help us to know who we are today. Help us to understand of your vision and what you see when you see us in our seats here today. Search us, O God, and help us. Help us to know those things that are wrong, our anxieties, and test us, and help us to be yours. Reveal to us what we need to change. And lead us into an eternal life. In all things, we do pray through your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.